This is a 3CR podcast.
And this is Published or Not.
Oh. There's a hint in your voice.
There may be just a hint.
A bit of baritone in there.
That I'm just not 100%, and it's got nothing to do with overindulging on chocolate eggs.
Ah, but you'll be 100% on the interview. Here we go. Absolutely.
When you've got a good book, good author, why not? Every week we have different authors on the program, all with such a variety of stories to tell. This morning, we will find out where some authors get their ideas. Perhaps from a writer's retreat. That's the title of Victoria Brownlee's book. Welcome, Victoria.
Thank you so much for having me.
Your main character, Kat Hale, has been a best-selling success with her debut novel. Mm-hmm. What was that about?
It was really just a retelling of her parents' love story. So Kat took inspiration from a story she'd heard many, many times before, and she wrote it into a novel, and it was a runaway, unexpected success.
She's got an agent and a publisher. She's also been given an advance to write the second novel. That was 3 months ago. She left a job to concentrate on writing it. And what she just found out.
So in a bit of a flurry, she finds out that the manuscript has been rejected. And her publisher is a little extravagant, rejects it immediately and doesn't give her much further information. So Kat goes into a world of panic and tries to get more information from her agent. And her agent finally gets the permission for Kat to rewrite the manuscript to try and make it into something more sellable for the publisher.
She'd written another romance based on her own failed relationship. In fact, there was a word that was put out by the publisher. Boring. So she's given a bit more time, and then if she doesn't come up with something good, she has to pay back the advance. Quite out of character, and she's never travelled much before, she jumps at an offer. The title is The Writer's Retreat. But where is this being offered?
So Kat jumps online and looks for a writer's retreat at the advice of her agent, who says, you know, take some time and get yourself settled and then rewrite something. So she looks up writer's retreats starting the next week, and one happens to be starting in the Luberon in France. And she thinks maybe this is the solution. She's desperate.
Provence with food and wine and beautiful old mansions. Let's hear a little bit from page 12.
Okay. In the French countryside, in a beautiful farmhouse, rich with history and stories. If only these old stone walls could talk. The house is surrounded by pockets of shaded canopies, bursting with vine leaves and jasmine plants, dangling over pebbled courtyards and wrought iron outdoor settings. A large stone wall surrounds the house and gives us a sense of being cocooned, sheltered. At first place, everything is set up to make this place conducive for writing. From the bookshelves lining the walls in our main workshop room to the notebooks and fancy pens left on our desks in our bedrooms. There's even a little printing room, but I get the feeling this is more of a pen and paper kind of place.
Yeah, absolutely. This is being run by Helen Thorne, and a quote, magnetic, alluring like a gemstone which catches the light. And her husband Gabriel complement each other beautifully. What are their skills?
I would like to say that Helen is a social diamond. She is a very affable, warm, magnetic person, and she meets Gabrielle. And Gabrielle is a very French, maybe a little bit gruff. In my mind, he's very handsome. And together they sort of form this bond that I think Helen wasn't expecting but turns out to be just what she was looking for. And so after a time, Helen's American, so after a time of going back and forth, they end up settling in Gabrielle's old farmhouse that he was gifted from his family, and they build a life for themselves in France.
Helen has an agent, Belinda, who's very keen for Helen to write another book, because you didn't mention she's a successful writer too. What had she written about?
So Helen started writing not long after she started running her writing retreats. So her novel Hush, Coming Quietly, was a novel that was set in the house that they're in at the moment, And it's a set in the war, and it's about harboring Jewish people in their house. And then her second novel, 10 for 10, is more of a thriller. So an unexpected genre twist for Helen. And Belinda is very keen for Helen to spread her wings and publish as much as possible.
Kat's own agent is Megan back in Australia. She's also pushing, and agents have quite a lot of power.
Mm.
It was suggested she changed her name on her bestseller. So no one there knows of being a successful writer too. They also don't know that she loves French food.
Mm.
And she forms a bond with Gabriel over the cooking.
Yeah, and I think that was, I think as I was writing the story, I just obviously love French food, and I really felt that Gabrielle could really bring that forward into the novel. And their bond, I think, over certain dishes, and Kat's desire to find out more about these dishes and to find out, you know, his secret ingredients. I think they formed a beautiful friendship over that. Kat saw him sort of as, I guess, the stability in the retreat that was apart from her writing, and that was the continuity for her. The food was the continuity. It was like her anchor throughout the novel.
I read with delight about the different personality of the other writers who attend the retreat. I think you enjoyed writing about Jane.
Oh, Jane. I feel like you can picture Jane when you read Jane. I feel like there's a Jane on every writing retreat and in every course that I've ever been in. And Jane's intentions, I don't think were always as bad as what she ended up portraying or saying. But she was a character who spoke her mind and perhaps should have learnt when to keep her mouth shut.
Kat is happy to join the quieter ones, Rosa and Ed, two teachers from London. They both include you, but they don't force you into a conversation, she realises. Each morning, Mark, an author of historical fiction and with a, quote, strong book smart vibe, leads the workshops on plotting, character and editing. Now, Kate is sure she'll be able to funnel all of these newly acquired knowledge into revising her manuscript for resubmission. He also suggests writing a journal.
Mm-hmm.
What's Kate writing in hers?
Well, the journal ends up forming such a large part of this book. And the journal, I think it starts off with Kat feeling very uncomfortable about where she is and what she's doing and feeling like an absolute fraud. But through the journal entries, she's allowed to explore, and Mark is giving them prompts to write about. Through the journal entries, she's exploring parts of herself that she didn't really, I think, feel comfortable exploring before. And so I think it's a format that allows you to open up. And because it's private and because they're not reading it to anyone, she explores some of those ideas, which takes her mind on tangents that I think she wasn't expecting and perhaps that she wasn't really ready to acknowledge.
Kat is quite introverted, but very good at observing people. And as you speak, a journal is an introvert's best friend. She's also writing down conversations she is hearing. There's one between Helen and her agent she hears. What was that about?
Oh, well, that's in the opening weekend of the retreat. Kat overhears Helen and Belinda talking about an idea for a cookbook. Helen obviously has quite a big status now as an author, and Belinda thinks it would be a great pivot for her. And given the location, given the retreat's accolades about the food and the wine available there, it seems like a natural segue.
And Gabriel has a cookbook with a huge publishing advance, but he doesn't want it published. Now, what could be the reason for that?
Gabrielle is a complicated character when it comes to food. I think that Gabrielle really holds on to this recipe book, which was his grandmother's. He holds on very tightly. And I think it's such a big part of his childhood and his identity that's in this cookbook. And so he's not very willing to to share it widely. So his recipes are a secret. And I think that Gabrielle is happy to share them with people, but I think he needs to get to know the person first. So it's a reciprocated relationship. So he is happy to go and share with Kat when he realizes that Kat loves his daub, his beef stew. When he realizes that she's there for the right reasons, not monetary or anything else, he's happy to share his secrets. And I think that he holds so tightly because his recipes are his identity.
Now, at this writer's retreat, there's a guest speaker, and it's a romance writer who Kate has admired. But what's this romance writer writing now?
She's gone to thrillers because why not? I could really see Posey in my head when she came to the retreat, and she's waving her hands around. She's excited. She's given up on love and she's moving into murder.
And this is what Helen did herself. She moved from historical fiction to suspense and now a cookery book. Kat can notice, what right did Helen have to write about food? I'd barely seen her eat. When Belinda, Helen's rather pushy agent, asks Kat what she is thinking about writing, she is giving a surprising answer. And we'll hear this from page 178.
So maybe a story about how a woman comes across an old family recipe book or something like that and then tries to get it published and passes it off as her own. But then she gets caught in an odd web of lies and is exposed as a fraud. What do you think? Belinda took a quick, sharp inhale and looked at me closely, the recently relaxed muscles in her face tensing ever so slightly. I couldn't tell if she understood exactly what I was insinuating, but it was clear that the topic made her uncomfortable. So it'll be like a mystery novel then, she said. And fiction, obviously. Something like that, I said, forcing a smile.
Well, alongside the journal, there is another piece of writing in development, Nom de Plume. What's that about?
Nom de Plume is the novella within this novel. It came about in one of the second or third drafts of the book. In this novella, I wanted to explore Helen's perspective because a journal is obviously very focused on the journal writer. And we had a lot of Kat's observations and opinions and feelings within the journal entries. I really wanted to explore Helen's perspective because she became, as I was writing, she became the character I wanted to know more about.
And we got extra depth there and thinking, oh my goodness, there's some goodies and some baddies in this book. And then Helen surprises with her new book idea. And this is on page 204.
Well, this is when things get a little more complicated, isn't it? So Helen announces to the writers who are on the writing retreat, it is the story of an author at a writer's retreat. Yes, yes, I know, very similar to this one, who is pretending to be somebody she's not. Helen shot me a glance that made me feel like I had done something wrong. She's a published author, but she's failing at writing her second novel, so she goes undercover to convince everybody that she's a novice writer. Full of apprehensions and nerves, gleaning ideas and storylines from her fellow retreat attendees. Helen, that sounds so interesting, said Indigo. But wait, it gets better. When all the other retreat attendees find out her secret, they decide she needs to be punished in some way for deceiving them. So it's a thriller? Asks Jane. I haven't yet settled on the ending, Helen said. I'll have to see where my fingers take me. Helen's announcement was met with applause and excitement. My stomach filled with dread.
Oh, look, honestly, these writing ideas all through it. And in the prologue, we learn about Sean Harris. Mm. But there is no other mention until the end, when a note comes under Kat's bedroom door. Two words, Sean Harris. Is it a threat or a clue? Now, Victoria Brownlee, as a writer yourself, you've had a genre change, food writing to suspense.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
They go hand in hand, don't they?
Explain yourself.
Everything you do as a writer is about having fun. Maybe that sounds too flippant. I think as a writer, you want to explore new ideas and you're pushing yourself always to explore something different. And I think food wasn't meant to be an integral part of this book. This was meant to be my book that was taking me away from food writing. Obviously, that's not something that I'm able to do. Food is a big part of my life and a big part of how I write, obviously. So while food is there, it's perhaps not as, it doesn't play as big a role as it has in my previous novels. But look, the thriller aspect, I think it came with the characters and the setting. Putting a bunch of writers all with very different agendas in a locked, well, it's not locked technically, but in a closed environment, in a house, in an unfamiliar environment to them where there are secrets and there are agendas and there are different things at play. I think the setting lent itself well to the genre. And I think in my previous book, Eat Your Heart Out, which had sort of a thriller ending, I think that set me up well to actually push this into a thriller genre, whereas previously I hadn't felt confident being mean to characters.
Oh, I think you do mean well.
Thank you. I actually realised how fun it is. Even the murders, it's great fun to write. Yeah.
But how competitive are writers on retreats?
Look, in this book, they're very competitive. There are a couple who are very competitive. But then I think, as with all writers' retreats, there are people who are there for the experience. And I think when you're going to the south of France for 2 weeks, you are going to have people who are there for the experience, who will be lucky to, you know, pen a few words, a few paragraphs.
Oh, have you ever been on a writer's retreat?
No, not really. No, it's all writing in my study or in my room. Yeah.
Well, Victoria, where else have you been on a writer's retreat?
So I was on a writer's retreat. It was a writing workshop more than a retreat in Paris for a month. So I'd been living in Shanghai, which is when I'd been working as a food critic. And so after that, my husband and I decided to move back to France for a little while. I have a history of living in France. And there was a retreat running, coincidentally, at the time in which we were moving there. It started the day after, so I thought, well, why not? I had a half-written manuscript, which was the book that then became Fromage à Trois, which is about an Australian woman moving to France and trying 365 types of cheese with a very handsome cheesemonger. And so I had an idea for that, and I went on this writing workshop and I met an American author who read the book, or read a sample of the book, and she said, no, there's something here. And that really pushed me to finish it. And then taking the time is what really helped me, and also being in Paris to finish the manuscript, because I think I was probably halfway through, but then I finished it quite quickly after that.
Oh, you know, I hear about these places because there's so many of Varuna, and, you know, they're run around Australia. But I'm a reader, not a writer.
There are reading retreats now as well. Just go and read with other people. I think it sounds wonderful.
Go to your room and read.
Go to your room and read.
Read around a fireplace.
But that fromage à trois, that's brilliant in terms of the play on words, as in menage, fromage, and a cheesy novel, was it? And all the romance was cheesy. How did it work?
Oh, it's a rom-com. It's there's a love trio. It's very fun. It's very silly. I think it's the book that made me realise that you can have a lot of fun when writing.
Yeah. You can indeed.
Well, it actually as well turned into a Hallmark movie, which I think speaks a lot of the genre and.
Well, there's a need, and there's an opportunity there for a lot of writers now, because there's a lot more film being made for the subscription channels. Mm. So, yeah, that's all available. So rom-com would be a great part of that in terms of what's needed.
So, next book, you're going deeper into thriller, deeper into murder.
I don't know. I've got another really fun rom-com idea that I really want to explore. There is food, yeah.
Taught me a new literary word.
Hmm.
Light thriller. No, thriller light.
Thriller light.
You know, we can have cozy crime. So thriller light.
Hmm.
I didn't realise that was a genre in itself. Did you, David?
I haven't heard of it, but, you know, dying by halves, I'd guess. You know, thriller light. But anyway.
I think it's for the romance writer who turns into a thriller writer. Has to. It's a bridging book. A bridging genre.
So what's the thrill in that? Is the thrill the murder or the thrill the romance?
It could be both. It depends on the reader.
You'll be the death of me in a romance. Yeah.
But let's go back to some of the writing ideas that were sparked. So we find a photo you took last week and write about it. And this one, write about something here you have never seen before. Now, Kat started writing about the wisteria.
Mm.
But that led on to why she started cooking and her love for Lolly, her sister. And then there was another one, write about a dramatic character. And this is one that I'd never heard of. Undine Spragg.
So from the Edith Wharton novel, Custom of the Country, one of my favourite characters. I think I read it around the time I was writing it. And I just, she's a social climber, but God, you really like her. You're not meant to like her, but you do, and you want her to succeed in her social climbing, even though, you know, it's a brutal pursuit.
But we all social climb. We can identify. That's what is the appeal, perhaps. Mm.
But she, yeah, she's quite devious.
Aren't we all?
It comes out as mine. Oh, what a nice young man.
So nice.
Oh, I need to know more about him. Mm. Do you think he might make another appearance somewhere else?
It's funny, when I was talking to Lisa at my book launch last night, she said, you've left a door open, or a door ajar. And I thought, isn't that wonderful? I did leave a door ajar. And I think as a writer, I think there's always, you fall in love with your characters, spend so much time with them. And this novel has been through various edits and various transformations. And I think that I've really gotten to know these characters very well. And I think it's hard to say goodbye to them definitively. And so leaving a door ajar, I think, is a beautiful way of just, you know, perhaps leaving a little avenue to pursue in the future.
There were some of those writers, I was happy that they drove off into the sunset.
Mm.
But others, oh, like Luca.
Oh, yeah. We all like Luca. Luca's purpose was just to entertain us with his good looks, I think.
Oh, yes.
Arriving on a Vespa and drinking espressos all the time.
Oh, looking just so handsome.
So handsome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful. The interesting character. The ingredients of a story, if I can borrow a recipe word.
In the writer's retreat, it's not just fiction that is being written, and the closer it becomes to real life is when the suspense just doesn't happen on the page. Cleverly crafted by Victoria Brownlee. Thank you, Victoria.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've just been listening to Published or Not on 3CR.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.